Welcome to the Lost Library, Seeker. Enjoy your stay.
Hey guys, I'm Joe. I will be your GM for this session, and if you would like to find me on the internet, you can look me up on Twitter at TheJoeHadfield, or how about checking out my podcast, WTF Anime, available where all good podcasts are sold.
I'm Eli, I play Kronos, and you can find me on Twitter at TheVikingBear__, and be sure to check out my other shows, Hoof and Sword and SHU Podcast.
I'm Melissa Wilkinson. I play Mitch Carver, and you can find me on Twitter at WilkieWit.
Hello, my name is Raphael Johns. I'm playing Gwen Smith, the wisdom is God sent in this, and you can find me as like Twitter at Eldritch Roth. Other than that, there's a Tumblr that I'm going to set up that you can follow. I haven't decided on the URL yet. I'm very beautiful. Thank you.
My name is Alan Sells, and I play Jace McGuire, God Ranger Blue Athena. You can find me at Alan_Sells on Twitter.
Our Lost Library blind box this time is masks. I am your keeper, I suppose is the correct term for this thing, is me, Joe. Joining me, we have Alan.
Hello.
Eli.
Hello.
Melissa.
Hello.
And Raph.
Hey.
So we're going to take a minute to describe to you the characters that will be taking place in this story and their relationships together. So let's go in that same order again. Alan, please introduce us to your superhero.
Well, I am very happy for you to meet Jace McGuire, otherwise known as God Ranger Blue Athena. He is a member of Pantheon Sentai God Ranger, which is the Sentai team in Halcyon City.
I am less happy to introduce you to Kronos, otherwise known as Kronos, who is doomed by the actual Kronos.
I am playing Mitch Carver, known only as Mitch Carver. He is son of the renowned and feared famous henchman Butch Carver, forced to do heroics only when it benefits him and his dad, and he has techno powers.
And I'm playing Gwendolyn Smith, as known as Godsend, and he is innocent of the possible current crimes of a maybe large super.
So we spent some time going around and talking about the relationships some of these characters have between each other. God, for sake of editing, let's just go kind of in the same order. And Alan, you can tell me your relationships that come from your mask playbook.
Sure. So I once got caught doing something that shames the legacy of Pantheon Sentai God Ranger with Kronos, and I trusted Gwen and told them an important secret of Pantheon Sentai God Ranger.
Kronos told Athena / Jace the complete story of the Doom and the danger they are in, and Kronos would like to kiss Mitch before the Doom takes them.
I do keep trying to impress Kronos with my antics, and one time me and Gwendolyn pulled an awesome, if illegal, stunt together.
Future me, or Jace was hurt by my future self once, and I've got to make it up to them. And Kronos is my best hope to stop myself from becoming my future self.
So now that we've met our characters, there is one thing we have to go through, which is you guys being a team of teen heroes. We're going to go around and ask the question of how the team first came together, just to kind of get a bit more of an idea of where you guys are at now.
So when our team first came together, all things considered, we did really well, and we impressed God Ranger Red Mars, who is the de facto leader of the God Rangers after God Ranger White Odin retired.
So when our team first came together, we paid a high cost for victory. And I think that was when God Ranger Pink died.
When our team first came together, we totally broke some major rules to win the fight. What rules did we break, and whose rules were they? Mitch has a habit of hacking into the school's mainframe. I think maybe I pulled a bunch of fire alarms. I pulled all of the fire alarms. I got the entire student body out of the school. And then we probably smashed a vending machine also while everyone was gone.
Just one of those, like, everything's kind of settled down and then you just hear crash.
And I just run out with, like, all of these Doritos.
Yep, just has an armful of Doritos.
Yeah.
Dorito gremlin.
When our team first came together, my future self got involved and either exasperated the problems or solved some of them. In this case, I think most likely he exasperated those problems by killing Pink Ranger. That's my guess.
Mm-hmm. R.I.P. God Ranger Pink Cupid.
You guys all have something very mighty and godlike, and I'm like, I took all these Doritos once.
It's fitting for Mitch, okay.
I let you guys probably have first pick of all the chocolate candy.
When some of the more godlike powers of our team asked you, just like, don't worry about it.
No, I bought all these Doritos. What do you, does it look like I don't have money? Look at my suit.
That is very fair by appearance.
You had literal worst.
So, in the stylings of a comic book, our first panel is kind of an establishing shot of Halcyon City, with some narration saying Halcyon City is home to superheroes, aliens, and villains, and is probably not the best place to live if you don't have superpowers. We then go from there to you guys in some sort of hideout or secret cave or some one of your parents' basements. So what does that space look like?
I have an idea. It just jumped into my head. Mm-hmm. Our base is under the pool in the school.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's got all those like metal pieces like moving around. It's basically just like steamish room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It probably smells terrible.
Oh god.
But it's got all the tech that Mitch needs.
Yeah, yeah. I cover it with like a protective tarp to make sure it doesn't get damp.
Oh, it must be hot and damp under there. Ugh.
It's not good for our hair, no.
No.
So we get a kind of establishing shot of the base itself with all of you, whether you're in your superhero costume or not. So who wants to jump in and kind of describe the general look of your character first?
So I already kind of mentioned that Mitch wears a suit. Mitch looks up to his dad. His dad is his idol, and his dad is one of those gentleman brawler henchmen. Like, picture Dave Bautista in Spectre, where he's got, like the waistcoat and his giant muscly arms, and he's just beating people up. That's essentially Mitch's dad, and Mitch carries that look with him, and he's wearing this, like, very crisp, like, perfectly tailored, like, high-end black suit that looks ridiculous on him because you're 17. Like, you just have to go to bio class. Like, what are you wearing a suit for? And that's all he ever wears.
Love it. So, Jace McGuire, as he is not transformed, does our school have uniforms?
I'm gonna go with it's an American high school, which I've never been to.
Let's go with it's an American private school, because those have uniforms.
There you go. If you want to describe a school uniform to fit the theme, go for it.
So he is wearing a blazer that's navy, and it has the patch of our school on it. His pants are plaid in blue and gold, and he's wearing, like, sensible, like, dressy shoes, but are made for, like, being able to walk in and stuff. And his uniform is pretty much impeccable. Like, he is really well-dressed. His hair is kind of a mess. It's just kind of thrown up. It's long, but it's, like, in a messy bun. And the thing that kind of sticks out is that around his neck, he's wearing a blue ascot.
Of course he is.
Of course he is. God
and
damn.
When you're looking at it, it is just this beautiful, pure kind of cerulean blue. But when the light hits it just right, you could almost see like feathers weaved into the scarf.
Ooh, cool.
The high school you go to is Silverhawk High, which is a private school run and mostly funded by Silverhawk, who is a Gold Age hero. So he's kind of in his later years, but he was one of the first heroes to kind of develop nanotech technology.
Ooh, okay.
That was kind of his claim to fame.
Kronos doesn't go to school. They're here because the entrance to their sanctuary space just somehow happened to come into this room where the rest of them tend to hang out. It totally has nothing to do with the fact that Kronos may or may not have a crush on Mitch or anything. Kronos has a red cloak and is wearing sort of a tuxedo-ish looking outfit beyond the cloak. And they have a black mask on their face that has like a clockwork gears on it.
Ooh, neat.
Well, if Jace is incredibly well put together, Gwen is the polar opposite, really. He's wearing probably a crew neck with the school's symbol on it. And like pants that are not, definitely not like school sanctioned pants. They're like some skinny jeans that he found. And he was like, these are really cool.
Nice.
And some runners. And it just in general, he sort of looks like he's like twitchy. Like he's sort of like, he looks up at the sky or he looks up at the, I guess the metal paneling up above them. And he like looks around. He seems kind of easily distracted. And yeah, I think that's it. He's got like pretty curly hair. Seems a little bit less messy and more just like naturally curly. And yeah, he's lean. He's lean. He seems like muscular, but like skinny.
So you guys are kind of spending your time after school in your underground base lair / terrible situation.
We have 3 dehumidifiers in there and it still doesn't help.
And they're really loud, so we're always yelling.
So yeah, you guys are kind of spending your time doing what you're doing. You guys hear a very firm knock on the entrance to your secret base, which inherently sounds strange as you've never had anyone else except you be able to find the kind of secret access route under the school pool.
Jace immediately like reaches up and grabs his ascot kind of dramatically, and he squints at the door.
Is it a janitor, maybe?
Mitch, do we have cameras outside?
Oh, we definitely do. So I scowl, I roll my eyes, and I pull up the cameras, and I gesture to them, and what do we see?
So you see, standing outside of the access route to the base, is a kind of thin, reedy man in a slate gray suit, perfectly pressed. With a black tie, kind of generically business enough. He's holding a briefcase, and you see the kind of pale complexion of a man with red hair that is graying at the temples, just kind of stood in front of the door, waiting. He looks like a man who is very used to waiting for people.
Does anyone recognize him?
You don't recognize the person exactly, but you do notice a badge on his breast pocket that looks like an identification card for Aegis, which is kind of the non-superpowered organization for keeping superheroes in check.
I don't want to be kept in check, so if he's okay with waiting, like, he can still wait out there, right? Like, if we wait long enough, will he go away?
I don't think that's how it works. I think, like, we're supposed to let him in, right?
Well, does Aegis know our secret identities, Joe? Like, are we registered?
The junior heroes who are kind of wards, I guess, and part of in relation to larger superheroes are kind of documented, but it is not the case that like everyone who wants to be a superhero has to send in a tax form that's like, here is my superhero identity.
I'm gonna suit up really quick. I'll be right back. I need sort of corner, I guess, to try to get a super suit off.
Pulls back a shower curtain.
Yeah, he's like, if y'all wouldn't mind not looking in my direction.
Jace kind of blushes a little bit, stands up, and firmly turns his back on wherever Gwen is.
Mitch is playing spider solitaire and isn't looking at anybody.
Kronos has a very large book open, and they are sitting and reading, not paying attention.
When I beat spider solitaire, I do nudge Kronos to look at the screen where the fireworks go off.
Kronos smiles and kind of nods and then goes back to reading.
And once it's time, like, he pulls the curtain back and he is in his superhero costume, which is basically just like a loose fitting hoodie and like exercise shorts.
Nice.
He may not have come to this timeline prepared to be in his super costume. Yeah, I'm ready. We can open the door whenever for the guy there.
Jace just kind of nods at Mitch to open the door. I assume that you have to punch in a code or something.
Yeah, you do. So I stand up, I straighten my tie, I scowl, but it's like a formidable scowl, and I open the door, and what does this Aegis agent have to say to us?
So the door slides open. He kind of jumps and, like, looks a bit surprised at you. Oh, I I didn't know if you were in. My name is Special Agent Rupert Sturm. Can I have a moment of time, please?
All right, clock's ticking.
Who sent you, Rupert?
I am a liaison for the Juvenile Outreach Department and a quite high profile hero asked or at least recommended you to take on some sort of a publicity stunt if you are willing to take on such an endeavor. And he's like nervously like wringing his hands and like takes as many steps into the room as Mitch will allow him to.
A publicity stunt?
That was more my phrasing, I'm afraid. We would like a certain number of youths, heroes, to take on a security-related detail for a large gala that is occurring. And you were recommended, as I previously mentioned, and it is kind of a publicity thing to show off that Halcyon City has a great number of young heroes that are willing to do good for the city.
This gala, are gift baskets involved?
I for the attendance, yes, I would assume so.
But we're not counted as attendance, are we?
I have been authorized to tell you that you will be compensated for your time, if that is a necessary motivator for you.
Do we also have access to the open bar? I'm not going to drink, I'm not crazy, but can I get as much Mountain Dew as I want?
You are children, so of course you know. You not have access to any kind of alcohol, but certainly you would have as much soda as you desire.
Why was that word so hard for you to say?
It's regional thing. Where I'm from.
You just call everything Coke. That's fine. That's what I do.
Yes. That is where I grew up. Everyone called literally every soft drink a Coke. Despite
I have never been called out so hard in my life. Holy shit.
Well, I mean, this is also a straight jab at me, Eli. Yeah. Don't feel bad.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm in. I'm curious, though. Have you run any of this by Pantheon Sentai God Ranger?
I think as soon as you mention that, Kronos's eyes roll.
That was next on my list. I wanted to see that you were willing before I got permission from your higher ups. If that is agreeable.
I was wondering, like a security detail. This gala, it sounds important. Are there concerns about threats, or is there anything that we should know about? Or
yes, the gala, it's kind of important. I was not told as to each of your viewing habits, whether you watch the news at all. Do children still, or do children at all, watch the news?
Well, I don't know about children, but I know Jace watches the news. He's really smart.
I was about to say, Jace just rolls his eyes so hard they almost fall out of his head.
And Mitch does stuff. Mitch is computers, and he knows all about stuff.
Yeah, I got 8 screens here. One of them's already on the news, and one of them's also always on Cartoon Network.
Screaming.
Look, sir, I don't mean to be rude, but we were in the middle of like the second to last episode of Steven Universe, so.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry to take up your time, but there is a meeting taking place before the gala that is a South Aronian ambassador meeting with a few business executives and a gala to celebrate the merger and creation, or at least creation of the paperwork to make a embassy for aliens in Halcyon City.
Wow, that sounds important.
Correct. It is very important. The larger, or the superhero groups at large, will be around the city doing their job. But if we would have one smaller, less experienced group to fend off any danger that might break through the net, as it were, it would be fantastic for the name of Halcyon City in front of the galactic populace, as it were.
Jace draws himself up. You have the shield of God Ranger Blue, Athena.
Rupert kind of cuts like a nervous glance to everyone else in the room.
Yeah, sure.
You've got my axe.
Yeah, that sounds great. Just, you know, yeah, great.
Jace looks at Mitch and goes, nice.
I mean the body spray, but yeah.
Oh, no. What did we tell you about that? Please not down here.
I switched to the cedar scent. It's the classiest version of the scent that they offer. When my dad gets me a real adult cologne for my birthday, well, then I'll smell better.
Okay.
All right, then.
Not to interrupt this riveting discussion, but do we want him to remember where our secret hideout is?
Ooh. No, we don't. No, we don't.
No? Okay. Then Kronos is going to use their memory manipulation power to let them only remember that they talked to us and we agreed, and not where we are.
Awesome.
Nice.
So for our first roll of the night, I would like you to roll me a Unleash Your Powers using 2d6 and adding your freak.
Okay.
I don't know how much I'm going to have to talk about rules here. Let's just talk about how dumb this guy is.
Okay, so I got a 9 on the dice and a +2 freak, so an 11.
Awesome. So none of the bad stuff happens to you. Your power works exactly as you intended to. So what does it look like when Kronos uses his powers?
Kronos' eyes go solid white, and there is a kind of a reddish, reddish-purple glow that surrounds them. And yeah, that's what it looks like when they use their powers.
Rupert kind of looks dazed for a second and like shakes his head and is like, I'm very sorry. Fumbles with a briefcase in the hand and like takes out about a 1/4-inch thick white plastic business card and just kind of holds it out for someone to take.
Jace takes
it.
Oh, go ahead, Mitch.
I elbow you out of the way and I take it.
I'll escort you out. He'll move this guy quickly out of there so that he doesn't, you know, wake up to memory. And
I'm terribly sorry. There is one other thing. I should probably tell you when the gala actually takes place. That might be helpful to you.
Sure. Yeah.
Excellent. It takes place tomorrow night, and at 3 p.m., you need to have a meeting with the other hero that is going to be present at the gala, and who personally recommended you.
Hmm. Who was that again?
Brazen.
Brazen.
So as someone who is within the super community, you have heard of Brazen. He is in not the largest, but certainly in one of the top contending biggest, in size of accomplishments, not necessarily size of the group, super groups working in Halcyon City. It's a kind of a group of Bronze Age heroes. Brazen is basically known for his power of super strength, and he has a large kind of suit of armor that can emit like heat blasts.
Yeah, it'll be good to work with Brazen again.
You also said, you said 3 p.m. we meeting with Brazen. Is there anything else that we need to know?
Is there a dress code for this?
Yeah, that was what I was wondering.
Yes. With this being a mostly publicity facing, we all need you in costume. Some of you, it doesn't appear need to change for that, but you and he points at Godsend and says, definitely we'll need to put on a costume, a superhero based visible costume for public ease and marketability.
See, I told you we needed to update your look. This is what I'm talking about.
If you would just let Pantheon Sentai God Ranger, they could suit you up.
No, this is fun and it's comfortable and I like it.
Look, comfort is important, yes, but you know, we have to present an image like, you know, take a look at Mitch. He's dressed nice. I have the whole ethereal whatever thing going on.
And like, I have the literal armor of a god.
You don't have to rub it in, but yes, he has the literal armor of a god, whatever.
Do you want to use my dad's Nordstrom card? We can go shopping.
Oh, yeah, we should go shopping.
We could have a montage.
Yes.
But I should spend my money on, but yeah, let's go shopping.
And as Rupert walks somehow nervously out of a room
that he doesn't remember getting to.
Oh, wait, yeah. Hold up, no. He's not going to walk out of it. Like Gwen is going to like basically grab him and super speed him out. So that they're remembering like where even like generally they might be in the school.
Nice.
He kind of is babbling as you're leading him out, basically saying, it's strange. I remember getting to your secret base that is in all of the Aegis records. I remember you talking about how I shouldn't be able to remember this, but I don't remember getting here. It's very strange.
Yeah, no, weird things happen all the time. I really hope that you have a wonderful day, sir. Be careful, be safe. Forget everything that you've heard. Bye.
And you see as he like kind of steps out onto a high school campus, like there is a black helicopter just sitting in the football field. Sorry, hand egg field.
So Jace walks up behind Gwen and puts a hand on his shoulder. Nice guy.
He seems very nervous for some reason, but nice.
I picked up on that too. Do you think... And he kind of looks off into the middle distance. Deicide is involved?
Why would he be involved? He seems like an asshole. I think he'll probably leave the gala alone. I mean, why would he be involved?
That's true. And even if he does show up, I have all of you at my side.
Chase, you are so dramatic.
Mitch loudly snorts.
I mean, you're not wrong. We will be there for you, but I don't think that we have anything to worry about. Let's go shopping. That'll take your mind off it. We can go get Orange Julius's and something else from this timeline.
I do love an Orange Julius. Have you ever had Cinnabon?
We don't have that where I'm from. What's that?
It's magical.
It is what is actually sent from the gods.
I feel like that was pointed. I feel like your tone was pointed there, but you know what?
And Jace kind of adjusts his ascot and side-eyes you.
Kronos very subtly tries to go for like the fist bump.
Oh, I see it. I take it.
Nice.
Welcome to the middle of the episode bit, where we're going to do some announcements and we're going to kind of talk about what we're doing here. So this is the first of our Lost Library blind boxes, where we're going to be doing some one-shots just to put some extra fun content out there that isn't necessarily a long-form campaign. It's funny that this was the first foray into this, because this was my first foray into GMing for a podcast. It was very different from my usual sort of GMing history. Like, I GM a lot, but recording for a show is super, super different. And hopefully it all went well. I'm sure we've made several jokes about how it's going to be a disaster, but I'm super happy with how it ended up. And the cast was absolutely fantastic. So I hope you enjoy it. If this is something you want to hear more of, let us know on Twitter. That is at Lost Library Cast, or if you want to hit us up on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast from, leave us a rating and review. That would help us tremendously and let us know that this is something that you want to see continue, as well as let other people know that this stuff exists. So our music for this show has been kind of appropriately Save the World by Cambo, available on the Free Music Archive. And if you enjoyed the show, make sure to let the cast know. Like I say, we had a lot of fun recording this, and I hope that you guys found it as enjoyable to listen to as we did recording it. For this time's High Tide recommendation, I would like for you to go and check out Join the Party. It's a 5th edition D&D campaign where the characters Tracy, Johnny B. Goodlight, and Inara switch from disaster to disaster, being helmed by their wonderful GM. I've had a lot of fun listening, and also they do really neat thing. They have an after party where they go ahead and talk about the episodes and differences in the GM's plans for the story, and also how the characters are kind of feeling, as well as answering some questions. So you can look them up on Twitter at JoinThePartyPod, find their website at jointhepartypod.com, or once again, wherever any good podcasts are sold. Okay, I think I have taken up enough of your time. Let's get back into the episode. So, describe to me the shopping montage and the music that is placed over it.
Well, I mean, obviously, because Eon City is a superhero city, there are shops that have, like, costumes. So we're going shopping at one of those.
There's a short, kind of bowl-cutted woman who demands that no capes be placed on anything. But the comic itself glosses over that for copyright purposes.
Mm-hmm. But, like, right next to that place is a Cinnabon. So, like, once... But you have to try on at least 3 different looks. What are the looks that you try on?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Okay. The first look is basically just, like, he gets... It's, like, very, like, heavy armor. Like, it looks basically like sort of like knight armor.
And Jace is beaming at this one.
But, like, he tries to move, and he doesn't have great control over things. Like, he can move in one direction very fast, but he needs to be able to turn pretty quickly. So he crashes into a whole bunch of other clothes and he goes, "That's not working. This is not going to work."
I think I do try and sell you on like a crisp, pristine suit, like a suit that's basically the same as mine, but not as high quality because mine has to be the best.
Yeah, I think Gwen definitely tries that on, and he's like, okay, let's see how this does. I think he can move in it, but I think it might get damaged pretty quickly if he's moving as fast as he typically does. I think he runs outside, runs back in, and he's, like, covered in shit, basically. Like, he ran into somebody's, like, coffee or something. I don't think this one's gonna work either. Sorry, Mitch.
Well, prom's on the horizon. We'll try again.
I don't think I'm gonna go to prom, actually.
Well, we could go to prom together. And he turns really? Bright pink.
That'd be so sweet. I didn't think that you would ask me to go to prom. We should all go as friends.
Absolutely. I love that idea.
I'll get a limo.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. Do they allow people who don't go to the school to go to prom?
Oh, yeah, I'll sign you in as my date. Guest, I'll sign you in as my guest.
Oh, yeah, no, that sounds great. And Kronos sort of blushes a little bit.
When that happens, Gwen sort of elbows Jason. He's like, they're so cute. They have no idea.
It's so good. So good.
The last outfit that he tries, though, is basically we're going with like the like skin tight lycra pants, shoes that he's pretty sure like he's going to use the same joggers, and just like a basically like a plain old t-shirt that has like a lightning bolt on it. And he's like, this is basically what I was already wearing, and I like it the most.
I guess if you buy it here at the superhero fashion store, it is a legitimate costume.
I think it counts.
I do too. What do you have in way of masks? Like, what are you wearing, a mask, or do you just have your hoodie up?
He typically wears a domino.
I do like that mask on you. It's flattering to your facial structure.
Way to go, Jace. Real great pickup line.
I'll leave him alone.
And he just turns beet red.
Guys, stop making fun of Jace. That was actually very sweet. Thank you. I think, facial structure and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Who wants some Cinnabon?
I think Mitch insists on getting a whole Cinnabon to himself and then eats half of it. And won't share.
Oh, don't worry. Gwen gets two Cinnabons and he eats Mitch's third one when he notices, like, he's not eating.
I, as an Englishman, have heard tale of this Cinnabon.
Jace gets the cinnamon bun bites, which are like little mini cinnamon rolls, and he's just eating them with a toothpick.
God damn it.
Jace, you're going to put some good sampler platter worker out of a job.
Gwen also tries to steal food from Jace.
And Jace, you totally can, and Jace actively pretends like he doesn't notice you do it.
I think Kronos gets a few Cinnabon, because using their powers is really draining on them, so they have to refuel.
Good.
Between now and the meeting with Sturm and Brazen, do we have anything we'd like to do?
I think Mitch goes to his closet and looks at his catalog of like 20 more or less identical black suits and spends like 20 minutes picking one out.
Mitch. God. I assume that the next day after that was school again, right?
Up to you guys if you want it to be a school day. And you have to sneak out of class at 3 p.m.
Ooh, yeah, let's sneak out of class.
It's a school day. Oh,
Jace hates this part. Oh, no, but wait, they know, the administration know, so it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, I guess.
I kind of look at my teacher and I go, I have business.
And the teacher's like, this is a superhero school, like, I know you have to go fight someone, it's okay, you get the hall pass. Don't forget we have a pop quiz tomorrow.
Not much of a pop quiz, is it? As he kind of leads out the door.
It is a quiz about what people call soda in different parts of the country.
Oh, so you mean it's a quiz about how half of the region is wrong? Cool, I'll ace it. Thanks.
Okay. Gwen spent all of yesterday sort of doing all this homework so that he wouldn't have to do homework for today. So he's just sort of handing it in to teachers and going like, "Hey, here's this homework and here's that homework, and I've got to go and all this stuff."
Mitch just walks out of class. I think he walks out of class during like a video, and then the teacher starts to talk to him, and he's like, "Ah, you said not to talk during the video."
Joe, can I mark Doom to access the Infinite Powers Doom sign and get myself a Kirby craft from the Outsider playbook for us to travel in?
Holy shit.
Ooh. I'm crying.
As a keeper, you said the golden words that were mark Doom. So 7,000%, you can do that. Describe your spaceship.
It's like, so the body itself is very sleek looking, but the engines on it are very blocky and kind of clunky. It seats four comfortably, but we can hold more people. It gets kind of crowded. It looks kind of like a giant pill with these two huge engines on the side. Yeah, so that's kind of what it looks like. It is fast and maneuverable, and it has chameleon plating. So basically, they can come out to the soccer field and get into the ship, which is currently invisible. And then as we take off, the chameleon plating goes away. However, it has a very bizarre fuel source. It runs off of time energy, and it is very hard to repair if it gets damaged.
Mitch is very impressed.
Gwen constantly ends up walking in. New running gag.
You guys are on this cool spaceship that practically showed up out of nowhere. Where are you guys going?
Oh, where's the gala? Like some fancy hotel downtown?
It was Mitch who got the like plastic card, right?
Oh, yeah, I've got it. I probably plug it into a laptop. Maybe I don't trust the onboard computer, but I've got like a laptop with me.
Jace is making a very special point not to touch anything.
To directly contrast that, Gwen is running around touching lots of stuff.
Gwen, maybe don't. I don't want to end up in the Mesozoic.
Well, okay, but like, this is really cool. Like, are you seeing this? I think this thing runs on time energy.
Exactly why I would rather us not have to, you know, live Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm. I like to imagine that knowing how my teammates are, I have buttons specifically set aside that don't do anything, so that if people want to push them, they're like the ones that are like bright and shiny and flashy to draw people to those, so that they feel like they've done something, but they don't actually do anything to the craft.
Yeah, that's roughly where Gwen is.
So Mitch, as you're fiddling with like this business card, there is like a kind of switch on the side that does like pump out a USB dock. There's also like printed on it is a QR code.
Really covering all the bases, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
So Jace breaks out his God Ranger phone, which is blue, and the like flip down part is in the shape of an owl's head, and he flips it up and he takes a picture of the QR code.
You have a QR reader on that thing.
Well, of course.
The ship also has one, like you didn't have to pull out the phone, but I mean, you know, you do you, whatever.
Yeah, so both the ship and Jace's phone pull up kind of the homepage for Amber Tower, which Ooh. Is kind of a block of business offices and a large portion on the top of the tower that can be rented out for private functions.
Is that where we're going to meet Brazen, or do you think we need to go somewhere different?
That's a really good question.
I've got the flash drive plugged into my laptop. Am I seeing anything extra that you can't get just from scanning the QR code?
In the USB itself, there is a hyperlink to the Amber Tower that these guys are seeing. There's also a text file that says, read me.
Oh, that's very helpful. I read it, and what do I find?
There's not much in this text file. It's just, go to the Amber Tower, floor 87, 3 p.m. Don't forget, this is important. Have I mentioned that this is important?
I believe they're trying, or I believe he's trying to tell us that this is important.
I don't think so.
You make a very valid argument, Kronos.
It's weird. When you read it, it's almost as if it's in Rupert's voice. Like, you kind yes. of get the nervous energy like just radiating off the page in front of you.
That guy seems really nervous, Mitch.
He's probably just bad at his job. Maybe he'll get fired and we won't see him next week.
Well, I mean, also, think of it this way. He had to walk into a room with four incredible superheroes that are a really awesome team together. So, of course, he's a little intimidated.
Kronos goes for a high five.
He high fives back.
That definitely could be it.
I think Mitch crosses his arms and nods at you like, thanks for calling me powerful, but you're not my friend.
Yet.
I am resigned to being on this team.
I think maybe Jace should lead the conversation, just because I don't know if you two know this Brazen guy.
I think my dad beat him up once.
Yeah, probably a good idea for us to not talk to him, maybe.
I'm sure it'll go fine.
I mean, he seems probably friendly, right?
Yeah, all of my experiences with Brazen have been really positive.
Well, I'll trust your judgment.
If you guys want, you can pull up a picture and, like, look at this guy.
Heck yeah. We're going to Facebook stalk him.
So, all of the kind of publicly available photos are of this very much kind of Crusader-era knight-style mechanized suit of a large man, probably reaching about 7 foot. There is this kind of like burnished steel look to his armor. There's a design that's like a hammer and anvil emblazoned on his chest. So you see him defeating a villain known as Endocrine with his various superpowers of super strength and heat blasts. And that's kind of the, like, what a decent Google will find you.
But Mitch has Google Foo.
What do I find on the deep dark web?
Oh my god.
I would like you to unleash your powers.
Ooh. Okay, what do I roll to do this?
A 2d6 plus your freak.
Okay. My freak is plain old 0. I have a 7.
A 7. So, you get to pick some options here. Whether you want it to be unstable or temporary, or whether you want to take a condition. You're going to get some information if you make it unstable or temporary, but not as much if you kept it going strong and took a condition.
I'll go for unstable or temporary.
Okay. You start clicking around, doing your hacking thing, which I just assume is like Hollywood hacking, where you tap on a keyboard and it works.
Yeah.
Nice.
Kronos comes to the other half of the keyboard and starts typing on it.
I think I probably have my laptop, like, fingerprint sensitive, so, like, if Kronos opens it, it just opens up, like, they get to play their own Spider Solitaire while I'm...
Hell yeah.
You pull up Brazen's real name, Alex DeMarco. He was orphaned at 7 and was taken in by Trent and Benjamin DeMarco. And was raised, gained his powers around 12, was taken into a program directed by Aegis, and then a large Aegis, you are pirating information logo pops up on both your laptop screen and the display screen of the ship.
I've definitely seen that before, but the fact that it pops up on the display screen of the ship does have me kind of frightened.
Wait, who's pirating Oh, never mind.
So, Kronos, as you're piloting the ship, I would like you... Let's see what's most appropriate. I feel like... I think it's unleash your powers because of you're using the move.
Okay.
So yeah, go ahead and unleash your powers to get through having a ad pop up in front of your piloting screen.
Okay, so I got a 7 total. I got a 5+2 freak.
Awesome. So again, you get to pick whether you want this to be unstable and temporary or take a condition.
I'll take temporary.
Okay.
I think. Yeah, I'll take temporary and just see what happens.
So I think what's going to happen is you guys are basically flying towards the Amber Tower. You have like a position locked on pretty well. You manage to clear the pop-up as you're parking, but it comes back at the most inopportune time, and you probably take out about 75% of the guardrail, like that's kind of around the heliport / spaceship port, causing a large ruckus.
Can I say this? I would imagine that in his backpack, satchel bag, whatever, Jace just carries caution tape.
Oh, for sure. But before that, are there any innocent bystanders like down below that could possibly be hurt?
I feel like there's 2 suited security guards by the door into the actual tower itself, not on the like heliport. So not in danger, but like definitely like taking a few steps back and like watching this disaster unfold in front of them.
Kronos gets on the loudspeaker and just says, sorry, and then turns it back off and tries to get control again.
I mean, you've parked. It's just like several feet from where you probably should have.
Mm-hmm.
Jace, can I have the caution tape?
Of course. And I dig through my knapsack and hand out. It says, caution, superhero work in progress. Caution, superhero work in progress.
Superhero in training.
He'll grab it and he'll sort of like run over, like, and sort of, you know, tie some to one end, tie, just rope the area off.
Good.
Super fast.
I'm trying to decide if I need to meet with Brazen costumed up or not.
I assumed we were already in our costumes. I'm hella dumb. I should have thought about that.
Well, no, because I kind of want there to be a dramatic moment where I henshin.
Oh, goodness.
We all live for the dramatic henshin. Yep.
Okay, so I'll meet with him as Jace.
Yeah, meet with him in your school outfit. Why not?
That's a t-shirt. We all live for the henshin.
Coming soon to Lost Library merch, yep, near you, if this gets we picked up for a full series. So, is it just Jace who's meeting with Bryson?
I don't think all of us would go, but we would agree only Jace is allowed to talk unless directly spoken to.
Yeah, basically.
I think Kronos would go.
Jace, Kronos. Anyone else?
Yeah, I'm definitely there. I think I've begrudgingly agreed to keep quiet. But I will nonstop, like, just keep nudging and, like, whispering to Kronos the entire time.
I think Gwen will definitely go, but he's going to be a little bit more hesitant. Like, he'll be in full costume and sort of, basically, like, his body language is that he's slightly behind Jace, almost like he's hiding behind him.
So, you guys flash the QR code business card to the security at the door. You then use that same QR code at the elevator to get down to the floor that I randomly just spit out.
87.
Yes, 87.
Thank you for remembering. I mean, I planned that all along. 87 is a very long game plan.
We'll come back to it in 20 episodes. Stay tuned.
Oh, yeah. You take the elevator and you basically end up in a large lobby with a single door directly across from you. There's maybe a potted plant in the corner, but that's about all the decoration there is.
So Brazen is not here?
Well, there's another door across
from you. Oh. I walk up to it and open it up.
at the last minute, Kronos is going to play a small trick on Jace and use their telekinesis to get a little bit of dirt and like put it, like sprinkle it on top of Jace.
I need to decide whether... No, you rolling is a better goof because things could go...
You accidentally dump the entire potted plant on top of Jace.
Just as he opens the door.
Yeah, yeah. Give me another unleash your powers.
I got a 9 total.
Okay.
Oh, wait, that's good, right.
It's going to be like unstable or temporary. So like there's like kind of a small mountain of dirt on Jace's shoulder that will eventually like kind of sprinkle down onto the floor. But Jace definitely notices.
I try to brush it off, but it won't move. Mm. And I'm just like, really? Today?
Kronos points to Gwen.
If it was Gwen, I could move it, Kronos.
I don't know what you're talking about, Jace.
And I like swipe at it with my hand, and my hand just kind of bounces back.
Let's just say, for the purpose of this, that it was me, and let's move on. You look good even with dirt on you. There's that.
He blushes a little bit. Thank you. And he opens the door.
The Lost Library is a production of the Fifth Draw family of podcasts and can be found at fifthdraw.com. You can email us at lostlibrary@fifthdraw.com or follow us on Twitter @LostLibraryCast.